Well, this morning we're continuing to work through our series in Ecclesiastes, and we are making good progress. Today's is in chapter 5. And as I said last week, we're getting to know Solomon, who wrote this book, pretty well. It's an old, ancient book, older than any of the philosophies of Aristotle or Plato. And we think that by the stage of writing this book, Solomon was an older man. He lived his life in splendor. He had wealth, he had power, he had fame, he had countless wives. And now, as he looks back over the course of everything he has done, and as we've talked about before, he had done a lot. Solomon is dissatisfied. He is disillusioned. And despite all the blessings he had, despite all the full, abundant life he seems to have lived, he gets to his twilight years of his life, and he thinks, what is this all about? He calls life meaningless, a vapor, a wisp, something that he can't quite get hold of. Here one day, gone the next. Last week in chapter 4, you may remember Solomon looked at the world around him, and his conclusion was, life is not fair. So far, in lots of ways, our trip through Ecclesiastes has been a bit of a lament. Life is not fair, it is meaningless, there is no lasting satisfaction. It's a cry out to God about the difficulties of life. And today, as we look at chapter 5, Solomon takes a break from that. He starts to think about the remedy of this, his situation might be. Perhaps Solomon recognizes that he has been spiritually dry in a spiritually dry season of his life. Do you know what I mean by that? I think as Christians, we all experience those dry and difficult seasons of faith. We feel like God is far away. We feel like we don't really know him. Like we no longer sense his presence in our lives. We struggle day after day with the same problems, with the same worries, with the same sins, and we wonder, where is God? Where is he? Sometimes in these seasons, we even lose the desire to seek him. Our hearts don't long for God the way we know they should, and so we just kind of shut down. We just dig in, and sometimes we walk away completely. Sometimes we just become, or just religious in our thinking. We make faith more about following the rules than about a real, living, breathing relationship with God. We can't know for sure this is how Solomon was feeling, but we do know that this can describe how we feel sometimes spiritually dry. As we start in the chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, Scripture appears to be speaking into this situation. So the first thing that Solomon says is, guard your steps when you go to the house of the Lord. Literally, watch your step. How many times have you said that to someone? Watch your step there. If you're walking down a tricky path, when you're out for a bit of a ramble, you have to watch your step. You're climbing on some rocks on the beach with the kids. What do you have to do? Watch your step. This is about taking care. It's about being diligent. It's about paying attention. It's about how we approach God. Now, Solomon was an expert in reverence. He knew how to approach the divine. After all, he was the one who built the temple, the house of the Lord. It took him 7 years and 153,600 men to complete it. It was a big job. He was fastidious over it. He took great care because he knew about the holiness of God. He knew what he did was in the service of God. And he knew that he had made something special and sacred. It wasn't a case of a bish-bash-bob job. It wasn't rushed or half-hearted, because Solomon knew who he served. He knew who he was worshipping. Solomon knew what it meant to guard his steps into the house of the Lord. Sometimes when it comes to Sunday morning, we can be guilty of not guarding our steps. We can come in a habit, ritual. We can come without a thought of who it is we approach. We can just rush in, hoping to be entertained or engaged with whatever really, without really ever considering the truth of what we are here to do. We can come without preparing our hearts and our minds for worship. And so our steps to the house of the Lord can be careless. Now as we work through this passage, it seems obvious that Solomon isn't just talking about preparing ourselves before we come to church. This is about a deeper heart attitude. In Proverbs 4, Solomon also wrote, "Guard your heart, for from it flows everything else you do." There's a similarity here. Guard your heart, guard your steps. And I heard someone say recently that church is not a car wash for the soul. What he meant by that is you can't live carelessly for 167 hours of the week. You can't live in a way that ignores or dishonors God for the whole week and then come to church for 1 hour for that week for a bit of religion or for that sense of absolution. That's part of what Solomon is getting at here. Your steps determine your direction. The way your feet are turned will determine the way you will go. And very often our feet are turned away from God. So we walk off on our own. We walk off in our own direction. As I've said to you many times before, our hearts are made to worship. That means that we all worship something. And it isn't always God. Usually, unfortunately, it can be ourselves. We can pursue money. We can pursue power, beauty, the good opinion of others, intellectualism, any amount of things, all in the aim of serving ourselves. Now, none of the things I've mentioned are bad things. In fact, they are good things. The problems only come when we make these good things into God things. We let them determine the direction of our steps, because then our course is chartered away from God. And so we can find ourselves saying, God is distant. God is far away. I don't feel God's presence. All the while, it is us who are walking away from Him, not the other way around. And if I'm honest with you, at this point, if I'm honest with you, when I'm out and about around the houses, when I get into conversations with people, I hear this frequently. I don't feel God close anymore. I feel like I've lost my connection to God. I feel like God is distant. People say it in lots of different ways. So I ask them, are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you regular in worship? Are you meeting with other believers for encouragement, for Bible study? And almost invariably the answer is no. No, I'm not doing these things. And so we have to consider the possibility that it is us who walk away from God, not the other way around. And so if we want to avoid these spiritually dry seasons of life, the first thing we must do then is guard our steps to the house of the Lord. Guard them each and every day. Not just on Sunday or on special days, not just on the days when we're feeling good, but on every day. Guard your steps and guard our hearts. The second thing Solomon tells us that we should draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. We need to listen to what God has said to us. Now, it's tempting just to keep busy, to keep doing. It's tempting just to motor on, to obey the rules. The still waters of Psalm 23 are inviting, but not many of us often take the time to sit by them in the presence of God. But if we don't, God will always be distant. If our faith will only ever be surface level, we will never really experience how God restores our souls. If you want to deepen your faith, if you want to avoid these times when you feel spiritually parched and distant from God, then you have to listen to what God is saying. Well, you might say, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? I'm trying to listen, but I don't think He's saying much. How do I know when God is speaking to me? And when I'm just listening to my own voice in my own head? Well, I'll give you a starting point this morning. We believe that God speaks to us through his word. We believe that faith comes from hearing the word of God preached. We believe that God's Holy Spirit is at work and in and through his word. The Bible teaches us that every word of the scriptures are breathed out from God. They are profitable for our instruction, for our reproof, for our correction, and for our training in righteousness. These words and the scriptures have authority for our lives. And that's Solomon's point here. Instead of just carrying on in ignorance like a fool, we need to draw close and listen. We need to submit to the authority of the word in our lives. And if we're honest, we won't always like that. There are verses in the Bible that we wish just weren't there. Parts of the Bible just want to make us protest and rebel. Like children who do not want to follow their parents' instructions. Now this is where it gets personal for me. I sometimes think Eliza and Joe's words, favourite words are, but I. Tell me your room, but I. Come for your dinner, but I. That can be our very same attitude for the Bible. Love your enemies, but I. Pour out your life as a living sacrifice, but I. Turn the other cheek, but I. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, but I. Love your neighbor as yourself, but I. Everything within us wants to rebel. But Solomon says, draw near to listen, because this is how God reveals himself to us through his word. And that is why the preaching of the word is so important. Our church service is not just about entertainment or engagement, it is about being equipped. It's about the transformation of our hearts, it's about knowing God better. And again, if we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, we don't always give the Bible the diligent attention we should. Sometimes we're prepared to get more of attention and devotion to Coronation Street or Premiership football on TV than we give to the Word of God. I'm guilty of this too. Those things can hold a more prominent position in our lives when we can numb our minds in front of the TV for 30 minutes or even an hour or more. But when it comes to the words of life that brings true refreshment, when it comes to the Bible that reveals the glorious creator of the universe, we can sometimes struggle with 10 minutes. These are hard words to hear. They're hard words to say. And I would be lying to you if I didn't admit that I feel the weight of them here. But if we are to be close to God, if we are to grow in our faith, yes, we need to guard our steps, but we also need to listen and to submit to the authority of the scriptures in our lives. But there is something else that we need to do as well as this. We need to talk to God. As we move into verse 2, Solomon gives us some guidance about how we can come to God in prayer. He says, don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart. Remember who you're talking to. God is in heaven, we are on earth. So your words should be few. Now when Solomon says that your words be few, he doesn't mean that we shouldn't come before God often. I've had a few words here, that'll do. Instead, a similar instruction to the teaching Jesus gives us in Matthew 6 when he says, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't go out to perform your prayers in public so that everyone sees you. Don't go on babbling like pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. The truth is, some people can put together these beautiful, excellent, theologically wonderful, correct, eloquent prayers, but if their heart is not in it, Paul tells us that they're just a noisy gong. Sometimes even on our own, in the privacy of our own hearts, in our quiet times, even in our desperate times, we can try to ingratiate ourselves with the God through prayers. Perhaps we know a little pattern of prayer we sometimes teach to children, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, because we think that's what God wants to hear. Because we think that somehow we need to butter up God before we can unburden ourselves with the true reason we come to God in the first place. We're almost guilty of trying to smooth God. But of course God knows our hearts because he is in heaven and we are on earth. He knows when we worship and adoration in our prayers is coming from our hearts. Just as he knows when you're going through the motions so you can get to the part that you really want to say. King David was called a man after God's own heart of the way he pursued God in prayer. Because of the way he opened up his heart and his soul. Sometimes the things he prayed were wrong. Like Psalm 13, for example. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? God had not forgotten about David. God does not forget. His prayer was wrong, but it was real, it was authentic, it was straight from his heart. And so it was more pleasing to God than 1,000 eloquent prayers strung together so that we could try and sound good in front of God. It was real. God is not fooled by that. God does not want to be buttered up with lots of fancy words and poetic phrases. We do that for ourselves. Not for God. He has no need for it. He wants the honesty of our hearts. He wants us to trust him. He wants the trust of our faith. He wants the intimacy of true, authentic relationship with us. And then finally, Solomon gives us some advice about making vows with God. God does not require your vows. And so don't say something that to God that you don't mean. Now, we've all done this. Perhaps it's only the prayer that a non-Christian will ever pray. God, if you get me out of this mess, then I promise I will. Does that sound familiar at all? They have absolutely no intention of fulfilling it. Maybe this morning as you sit here and you're listening to this, you're making a vow to God in your heart. Yes, God, I promise I'm going to sort out my relationship with you. I'm going to guard my steps in my heart. I'm going to be more disciplined about reading the Bible. I'm going to be more honest with you in prayer. Maybe that's a vow that you're making this morning. If it is, then Solomon's advice to you is make sure you keep it. So as we run out of time this morning, the sparsely hard times will come. We'll experience those times when God feels distant, and those times we need to guard our steps. Pay attention to the direction of your feet. Where are they taking you? We need to listen to God, what God is saying to us by His Spirit through His Word, and we need to be serious about the Bible and its application to our lives, and we need to get honest with God. Solomon ends this section of chapter 5 by reminding us that much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Sometimes the view of God, we have this view of God, it's nothing more than a dream. Our idea of God's character and nature can be so skewed that it's nothing more than a fairy tale. And how can we approach a God we don't even know? So this morning, let's guard our steps. Let's draw near to listen and let's come to him in prayer with open hearts so that we don't find ourselves in spiritual barrenness, so that we don't become parched or dry, but instead experience the living waters of his presence in our lives.